guys. I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
Gonna hurt. Do it's not
like I don't know anybody to try to get it to come out here or here.
Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and all of his carpenter friends.
Hey guys, I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
Okay. Oh, what am I gonna say though?
Now y'all made me nervous.
It's gonna be a time.
I'm a sensitive boy.
I'm Beth, and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
I've been hit.
I got the little frilly socks and everything.
Together, we make the Music List Podcast. Happy New Year from the Music List.
All right. Sounded like Frosty.
Yeah. Happy birthday. That's what Frosty says. Coming to you, this is dropping New Year's Eve. And actually the morning, New Year's Eve morn. The morn of the eve. saying
the daytime of the night.
Saying goodbye to 2025 and hello to 2026. And I hope everyone has enjoyed the holiday season so far. The Christmas and the Thanksgiving's over with. And now we're moving on into New Year's Day tomorrow. Hopefully everyone will be safe tonight. You drive safely, have a designated driver, all that good stuff, please. Because we want you to be able to listen to us in 2 weeks.
Priorities.
Yeah.
So
in honor of the of 2025, which was not as bad as some years, you know,
musically or personally.
Usually
kind of a dumpster fire for
some. Yeah, but you know, like it seems like every year we get to like September or October, and people are like, I'm ready for this year to be over. You know, like because. Yeah. You know, legends have died and catastrophes had happened, and everybody's like, well, I'm right. We need this next year to roll around. Like, it's just a day, dog. the same stuff gonna happen next year. You know, life just keeps on marching on. And
time marches on.
Ooh, there's a nice little Tracy Lawrence reference. I like it. I like it. Despite my... You guys like modern music more than I do, by a lot. And despite my disdain for most music that has been released in the 21st century.
Oh, my God. We're 25 years in.
Yeah, whoa. It's been a rough quarter century musically for me.
oh, my gosh.
I would say that they're
more than half his life.
Yeah, I know. There are always some bright spots, and I'm happy to report that I come to you today with some bright spots.
Oh, good.
And I hope you all have brought some bright spots as well.
brought
some bright spots. Because we are going to be celebrating what we think are the
drinking already.
The best songs of 2025.
Yeah.
So, and you know, maybe you've heard of some of these people. Maybe you haven't heard of some. Maybe there's a new album out by some popular ones that you haven't known about. Maybe there's a song, whatever the case. But, you know, maybe some give you some ideas to go out music shopping to start 2026.
with all that extra that, money best, you've got left over
right.
Now that Christmas.
Well, you know, maybe you got some gift cards.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It really pairs well, I guess, with, like, if you got an Apple gift card, you can go to Apple Music and buy individual songs that we've listed here today. So we're listing, naming some of our favorite songs from 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the we're not gonna eliminate songs today. We're not gonna snake draft, and we're all gonna pick five of our favorite songs of 2025 and share them with you, our audience, and you know, you can agree or disagree. You can go check them out on a lot of different platforms. Spotify is pretty much free.
Yeah.
I mean, you can buy it without ads and stuff, but I mean, like, you can pretty much listen. There are some artists who are not on Spotify,
mm-hmm.
but because they, I mean, it's a great deal for us. It's an awful deal for the artists. They get paid next to nothing for Spotify.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really ridiculous. But, you know, most YouTube channels, you know, if you go to, most of these songs will be on YouTube as well. Or unless, anybody have any Garth Brooks songs? Because he's nowhere to be found. You got to go buy his album.
Where are the bodies?
Yeah.
The families need answers.
So, we're just going to share some of our favorite songs. So, what was your opinion of 2025? I mean, did you like the music? Do you think this was a good year for music, a bad year for music, a kind of year?
I thought it was pretty good. I listened to probably more pop music than either of you.
Like for the 21st century, it was okay.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there were some huge pop albums released this year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Taylor Swift has a new album out, Sabrina Carpenter, mm-hmm. Joe Jonas, Lady Gaga, Teddy Swims, like ton of new music this year by artists that I like. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know that Taylor Swift had a new album come out.
Mm-hmm.
Big double decker album, huge album.
Yep.
She may have had two albums come out. Did she have two?
No. Tortured Poets Department came out.
Oh, that was last year. Okay.
But they were, pretty close together. Yeah. But, for her.
I mean, the album did. It had to have done well early. I didn't check the numbers on it, but they dedicated a Sirius XM station pretty much just to that album for like 3 weeks.
She had the whole top 10 at one point.
It was nuts.
Insane. It was much anticipated, this album.
Was that The Fate of Ophelia? Mm-hmm. Is that the name of the song? I mean, I have heard that song.
The single,
a lot in my house.
I'm sure.
Yeah, my daughter Anne Marie is a Swiftie through
and
through.
Can they do all the choreography and do the dance?
I don't know, but I know that she can play it on the piano already.
Oh,
that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. So, and honestly, like I know that we've gone round and round about Taylor Swift in the past, but the depth of her songs are much improved, obviously, than when she was writing songs when she was 16 years old.
As you would think they would be.
So
vocally,
she's improved much.
Yeah. She has
much vocally.
Because I used to be.
You were a hater.
I wasn't a Swiftie. I was the opposite end of the spectrum. I was a Taylor Swift hater. However, I think about probably with her Reputation album, I started to come around.
And I'll say this, like, you know, watching the Eras tour on TV, because I've had to watch that 37,000 times too. It's a different kind of live performance than you would get out of Kiss and, you know, but she now has to, you've got to give her credit for being one of the great live performers of all time.
It was an incredible show.
3 hours, no breaks.
Yeah.
She's
tough.
And then, and not only that, but it's also all the LED screens and the graphics the special effects.
It's crazy. It's nuts.
I think we briefly mentioned when we were talking about Elvis, I think we briefly mentioned Madonna. She's bigger now than Madonna was, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's having one of those.
She's arguably the most famous person in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and
I mean,
I hope I didn't step on anybody's toes. Did anybody select a Taylor Swift song?
I didn't. I had a lot to narrow down from, and I was just like, I think everybody knows about Taylor Swift.
That's
true. So I was like, let me pick stuff that maybe is introducing somebody to something. That was my thought process.
And it was, I mean, I liked this last album. Mm-hmm. I liked it. But like, when we're going the best, like, I think the songs that I picked, I love them. Mm-hmm. I really love them. So.
All right. So, you know, like we said, we're not going to round robin. We're just going to go through. I'm going to draft first. I know that much. Who drafts second? Beth drafts second. Heather drafts third. And it doesn't really matter the draft order here because we did cross reference and make sure we did not have any duplicates. So you will get 15 songs here today. Some of them you may have heard, some of them you may not have heard. But we welcome you to go listen to the ones maybe you haven't heard, and maybe give some of the ones you have heard a second chance if you didn't like them. So I'll get started. I did mention on the when we did our No Skips album, our gift albums, one of the albums that I mentioned was Songbird by Waylon Jennings. And so my first song is Songbird by Waylon Jennings, title track. Y'all may recognize this song.
For you, there'll be no more crying. For you, the sun will be shining. And I feel that when I'm with you, it's all right. I know it's right. To you, I'll give the world. To you, I'll never. I feel that when I'm with you, it's all right. I know it's right. And the songbirds are singing like they know the score. And I love you, I love you, I love you like never before.
So, this song actually originally done by Fleetwood Mac, done, and it was released on the Rumors album, which I know you guys have a affinity mm-hmm. for. Written one of only four songs that were written. I say only one of four songs solely written by Christine McVie on the album. So. The question then is, how did Waylon Jennings release this in 2025 when he died not in 2025, right? So Shooter Jennings, his son, found a lot of lost demos that he and the Wailers had done in the 70s and the 80s. And this was one of the tracks that he found. And so he brought in some of the old Wailers to do some of the background vocals and remastered it with it. That's really Waylon Jennings' voice. That's not AI. And then he released an album called Songbird this year, just actually within the last couple of months, it was released. So this is kind of a different look for Waylon. Waylon is known as he's I want to say he's my favorite outlaw country artist. He and Hank Jr. are like neck and neck. I love both of those guys, but he's definitely, he may be my favorite. Just his, my favorite of his stuff may be my favorite stuff. But this is a different look and feel to Waylon Jennings. It's real, it's raw, and it's interesting to hear, you know, that Fleetwood Mac song, which I believe was done with a lot of orchestra.
No, it's just piano.
It's just piano. Yeah, mm-hmm. So done now with pedal steel and, you know, I mean, it is twanged up with Waylon.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so you get this, you get this very country, like you could see this being written as a country song. Not stolen away from a folk rock band. and just knowing that he's dead now, you know, and knowing that this was probably written or not written, probably recorded about the time Shooter was born. And so you can kind of look at the lyrics being not necessarily a romantic love, but I want to take care of Shooter. I think that's probably why it led the album, mm-hmm. you know, because Shooter's the one that put it all together. It's just neat. And if you know, what I would say is if you're a fan of country music, if you're a fan of Outlaw particularly or Waylon, or if you're a fan of Fleetwood Mac and you want to hear a different version of one of the great songs on what is their most iconic album, then this would be a good song to listen to. So that's it. I selected Songbird by the late, great Waylon Jennings.
Shooter is an amazing producer.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked with, he helped Brandi Carlile with Tanya Tucker's.
Oh, mm-hmm. Dude.
There's a documentary about that mm-hmm. I highly recommend. It's fascinating watching all that come together.
And Shooter's not a bad musician himself. You know, he actually a very good version of Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys he did with Lucas Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it was Waylon and Willie's son mm-hmm. redoing it. And it was the theme song to that ranch show that had Sam Elliott. It was a comedy. And Ashton Kutcher.
Oh.
And it had the guy that got in trouble.
I know what you're talking about.
They had to take him off the show. Yeah. Oh, what was that show called?
I don't remember what the show was.
It was the theme song to that. So yeah. I listened to it a lot because I watched The Ranch. It was called The Ranch.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah, I was like, it's a show about ranching. And what was it called?
And they live on a ranch.
They live on a ranch.
So, they're ranchers.
Yeah, it's called The Ranch, yeah. Shooter's excellent. And it took, I think, probably to take some demos that were recorded in the 70s and 80s, it took a special kind of producer to be able to bring in some new tracks and some new background vocals and maybe some new layering with new instruments because it's really well done. So, and it's a really good song, standout song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very different. My first pick is Bad Dreams by Teddy Swims. I've Tried Everything But Therapy Part 2. So Part 1 was released 2023 or 24. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that had Lose Control on it, which is he kind of took off from that song. That was a big hit for him. And so this is Part 2 to that album. And it has a similar sound to a lot of the stuff. It's retro but new. It's an interesting mix of styles and that he's got going on, and he's so good. Mm-hmm. He's so smooth, mm-hmm. but his voice, like his runs. are delicious. And then mm-hmm. but he's got that grit and rasp to his voice, mm-hmm. but the quality is still good. So I just like this song. I think it's catchy. He's got some other good songs on this album that I like. But this one is my favorite. I just think I like a song I can just groove to. It can be on in the background. I'm not looking always for lyrical complexity. You know,
right.
I just
right.
really like this. It's it sounds, I don't know what decade I feel like it sounds like.
It's almost like CeeLo.
Kind of.
Got some of that.
It is kind of early 2000s, mm-hmm. but there's also something throwback about it that I can't quite put my finger on. But that's kind of his deal. Lose Control was kind of like that too.
Yeah.
So he's a good mix of pop, R&B, soul. So I like him a lot.
So just to make my point.
Yeah.
We have one artist that's dead
mm-hmm.
that redid a song from the 1970s.
Yeah, so not even a new.
And somebody who's
yeah.
best quality is they sound like people from the past.
Oh, he doesn't sound like anybody from
the
past.
No. Well, I mean, he takes a lot of elements from the past.
Yeah.
And incorporates.
I mean, it's going to be hard to at this point, there's been a
lot of. But I'm just saying the best music today sounds an awful lot like the music
okay,
of yesterday.
Oh, man.
I'm not a boomer. I'm barely Gen X. I mean, like on the.
Yeah, you are.
I'm 6 months from being millennial.
Yeah.
7 months, I guess. All right, Heather.
All right, well.
That was a good song, though.
Yeah. Okay, well, I went just based on the name. It's new. It's fresh. It's young blood.
Somehow. So let's keep it professional. I got things in my mind got life. You look nice on the outside. Do you wanna come out tonight? 'Cause I wanna feel good in my shoes. And if love's a thing, what about? I went out with a girl, right? But I should've gone out with a mate instead. People that make me feel like I'm sick in the head. So then I go on a daydream where I know that I'm wrong. It makes me right. You're cool this morning.
I love the spoken verses with that really thick accent, and you know, it's very punk.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into this really ethereal but heavy guitar chorus, and to me, it's like. It's dark, but the chorus is so bright. The chorus sounds like you're driving in the summertime with your windows down. You know, it sounds bright and happy. But the verses sound, they give a little clash, little Sex Pistols. And I just, I don't, I love his persona. For some reason, I love it. You know, he's got the Aussie stamp of approval. We know that. Right before Ozzy passed away, he got really close with Youngblood. And I love to watch his interactions with fans. I mean, he's very British.
Well, how do you think this how do you think this relationship with Aerosmith is going to work out?
What?
And he like.
Yeah,
he's like kind of moving in to Steven Tyler's spot.
Did they remake? Was it Dream On?
And
I think
Angel
they re-recorded it together. Did they do a bunch of songs?
Yeah, so like he could be, you know, because Steven Tyler's obviously got a lot of health issues with his voice like that, and it's. I may be misunderstanding what they're doing.
You don't
but
think he's trying to step in?
I can't imagine.
I think Steven Tyler is. Like not going to be able to continue.
Correct.
And so it almost seems like they're going to maybe try to move forward with him.
For new music? Because Brother cannot sing.
No, Steven they have Tyler. Very different.
That would be interesting. I need to listen to their stuff because I know
but
that they recorded
are doing,
some stuff
they're
together.
They're doing a lot of stuff together right now, and I'm wondering if it's...
I'll have to check that out because
it may be that, you know, Perry and those other guys in the band don't want to hang it up. They need a lead singer.
I will give him this. I think he can hang with charisma.
Yes.
But even his... I mean, like... I think, I don't know. He has such a different vibe about him than Steven Tyler. I mean, he has I think he can match level of charisma. It's not the same type
it's
of charisma.
It's not, but I mean, you know, it's also.
Vocally, I don't.
That's tough. For anybody, that's
it
tough.
It is, but I mean, like, Van Halen totally changed gears.
Yeah. If you're going to completely go like, all right, this is a new era.
Right.
Yes.
That's fine. But if you're going to say, we're going to put this,
like, this I don't man think, in yeah, here. I don't think they're going to be going expecting him to sing,
okay,
you know, Dream On.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
But you like, know, not like Steven Tyler sang.
Right. I mean, Dream you could On. Reimagine it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like, from the things I've read, like, in the UK, like, they look at him like, you know, he is spearheading this, you know,
like this, a resurgence, yeah, of rock and roll,
British pop, and you know, and British rock, and like,
okay,
I don't know, that would, I have not, I don't know, that would be really interesting.
Yeah,
but I love to watch him with fans because he, like, I don't know, I don't know if he'll keep this as he keeps gaining fame, but like right now, like, you watch him with people that he meets, and he is like, his eye contact is so intense, and like, mm-hmm, he really makes people feel like I'm, you know, it's just you and me talking right now. And, mm, and so I think it's just that charisma that he has. And, I like the other stuff he's put out this year. I don't know what else to say about it.
I just like it.
I like that those punk elements that you hear, and you know how I like stuff kind of.
I'm always down for popular music being diversified genre wise.
Yeah,
to where we're not in a place where only one type of music is dominating, because, mm-hmm, it's been that way, kind of electronic pop, for a long time, and I don't dislike that style, but
right,
I miss the days of when I was growing up and we had hip-hop on the radio, we had country on the radio, we had pop on the radio, we had some R&B on the radio, there was, you know, there was something for everybody, and it was all super popular. I miss that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact in this song, like, he could go out there with a guitar player, a bass player,
mm-hmm,
a keyboard player, and a drummer. Maybe not even the keyboard player. You know, it could be just a straight three-person punk band.
Yeah.
And pull this song off. And I don't know, sometimes we bringing it back simple is good.
So. Ben, are you going to take that chance to say, see, the old stuff is...
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
I mean, I think at this point, especially like in our lives... Once you get, yeah, over 21,
yeah,
you know, or 25 or whatever, you're going to start making references. You're going to hear things in music that, you know, remind you of other,
mm-hmm,
of other stuff. You know, Hallie thinks, oh, this is so new. Listen to this. You know,
oh, and you're like, oh, hold on. It sounds, yeah, exactly like. Yeah.
And I remember I was teaching already. Well, I had been teaching for a while when Lady Gaga, came out in the, like, the, when she did Born This Way.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I liked that the first time I heard it, and it was called Express Yourself, you know? Or when she, you know, when Nicki Minaj did the MTV performance with all the crosses and the, oh, all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, like a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Got it, you know?
So. Yeah.
I guess Madonna was a big deal.
She was. Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll get on to round two.
Yeah.
In a move that will surprise nobody, I'm sticking with country music.
What?
And this is a guy that a lot of people may not have heard of. In fact, I may be the only person at this table that has heard of Charlie Crockett.
Yep.
Yep. And we got crickets from Crockett. But he is a... neo-traditional country singer, really, really independent, but a lot of like underground country listeners really like his stuff. He released actually two albums in 2025. He has released 20 albums since 2015.
Whoa.
So he likes the studio.
Mm-hmm.
He is really kind of a mixture of Western and country.
Country and
Western. Well, I say Western because I mean, like, you know, for him, and there are a lot of ballads. There's a lot of,
yeah,
almost like going back to, you know, out in the West Texas town of El Paso. You know, a little Marty Robbins gunfighter ballad action, you know, just waiting for some pew pews to go on. And I mean, even like the name of this, the one that the song that I chose was called Crucified Son. The name of the album is Dollar a Day, which it almost seems like it's a Clint Eastwood Fistful of Dollars kind of a deal. And, the other album in 2025 was called Lonesome Drifter. So, I mean, he's really kind of playing into those classic kind of westernized country ballads, in his marketing and his songs. And so, but this song is called Crucified Son.
Got a plane out of Austin this morning in the drizzling rain. Blue bonnets line the highway sign, let me know it's spring. I don't know if it's right, but I said yes because I can't refuse those Crystal City lights. Crucified Son, I was born the lucky one. They can't tell me what I've done. I'm a crucified son. Don't ask me how I started.
He is obviously not hit the big time yet because you guys don't know who he is. But, you know, there's a lot of this song is really about kind of asking himself, do I need to cut the corners? Do I need to, you know, sell out in order to, you know, what's most important to me? And that's kind of like that question about, you know, they want to put me on a TV show. I don't know if I should, or, you know, all these kind of things. And it's really, I think a lot of country people that listen to independent country artists like Charlie Crockett, it's one of those age old questions that kind of haunt us even as listeners. You know, it's like, you know, what do we want him to do? You know, do we want him to go out, be successful, cut the corners, play arena country, pop country, bro country, all this other kind of stuff? Or do we want them to stay true to the music and not have as much money and glory or whatever the case? So a lot of really good kind of personification of the country music industry right now. And so and it's just really good. Now, this particular song, there are songs of his where his vocals are not nearly as polished. He does a lot of, like, I think maybe just because he does it, when you do like more than one album in a year,
yeah,
and then you try to tour and you try to do all the concerts and the appearances, and he does a lot of commercial work too because he's a good looking cat, you know. But how much time can you spend on each song in the studio, you know? Because I mean, was the word prodigious? I think
prolific.
Prodigious. What's prodigious mean?
Like you're a prodigy?
No, it's not that. Definitely prolific. I think you're right. I think it's prolific. He's very prolific. He produces a lot of studio work, mm-hmm. And I just think it would be hard to be really, really perfect the way that a lot of studio work is. But there's that gives it a sense of rawness, though, that I think lends itself well to country music anyway. So that was Crucified Son by Charlie Crockett off of the Dollar a Day album.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pick an artist that you are familiar with.
Oh.
It's The War and Treaty.
Oh, yes.
Love Like Whiskey.
Sleeping on the couch all week. You ain't even been talking to me. Well, two doors down to stand up now. Which one of us gonna fall? Maybe neither one. I got heated last night. It sure be cold.
this song is, I like the, like his verse is like, all right, I've been on the couch, but hey, I'm out here. I still love you, but we got to learn how to figure this out. And then her verse is her from in the bedroom. And she's like, I'm waiting on you to try and knock on the door, see if you're going to figure this out. You know, like it's a dual perspective mm-hmm. kind of song, but both of them coming together say like, yes, we've been fighting. And it's relatable in that I feel like most married couples have been in that situation where like you're in an argument, but you don't want to be the one that folds, that caves in and says, okay, fine, you win, or I don't, you know, like you're stubborn to the point of like, all right, I guess we're just not going to talk for a minute. And you want the other person to be the one, cause you don't want to fight, but you also don't want to give up. So it's kind of like that relatable type of content there. And gosh, they're so good. They are so good. We would have just had her listen to her verse too, cause she's insane, but,
yeah. She is.
Yeah. So I like them together, and I like that this is, they bridge country and
soul
and gospel, just all kinds of stuff. And that album that this is on, I think it's called Plus One. Like there's a song that has Billy Strings on it. So there's a lot of banjo, bluegrass feel. They've got like old westerny type stuff on it. There's gospel. I mean, like the album, they don't all sound, all songs do not sound the same. Like there are some albums that I was listening to that were released this year. It's like, okay, this has a theme. You were in a headspace where you were making this kind of music. For them, there's a lot of just variety on the album. And, man, they can sing. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's enjoyable. Go check it out.
You know, and another song just that's on that exact same topic is mm-hmm. Alan Jackson's Tonight I Climb the Wall.
Yes, it's yes. It's a lot like yeah. that, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're better singers than Alan Jackson. I mean, you
yes,
know, they just,
they are, and
there's something about, I love when you have two people that have very real chemistry and they're married. Mm-hmm. So they, I mean, we hope they have chemistry. I hope they have a wonderful life together.
The video's cute,
but you know, it's,
to
it's,
see them together.
It's always cool to see people that have, you know, a real, mm-hmm. a real chemistry. Like we saw, you know, like in country music, since it's, you know, like, Dolly and Kenny Rogers had
yeah. mm-hmm.
chemistry, and Loretta and Conway had real chemistry, and Faith and Tim McGraw had yeah. real, you know, mm-hmm. it's really cool to see it. And these two do, you know, I mean, there's a couple of times in some of their videos where you're like, y'all gonna have to, we gonna have to put an EE4 explicit on this video. Y'all keep rubbing on each other like that.
Oh my God.
So.
But, oh man.
Yeah. All right. Good choice.
Yep, that's a good one. Is it my turn?
I believe so.
Yep.
Okay. This is someone people have heard about lately. It's Chapel Roan. It's a single called The Subway. And, you know, we love a good breakup song.
Oh, we do.
And so this was a song that she prefers performing live. She wasn't going to release it but as a single, but she... She loves it. The fans love it. I'm going to skip over to the bridge because it's a good bridge, and
she can do a bridge.
So, yeah. So,
days till you're chasing another girl on the subway.
It's so impactful by changing one word. She goes from she's got away, she's got away, she got away, she got away. And it's just like, oh, whoa, gut punch. And then she, I think it was a brilliant decision to take it from a stripped down live performance to all those layers she put on there, because, like, you know, she dubbed all these harmonies and everything, and then she just soars over the top of it. And I mean, it's just, oh, and like her brand of pop with that, it definitely has 80s pop elements, yeah, for sure, which is one of the reasons I love her. Yeah, obviously, because that's my time. But to be able to take a song like this and then, like, for people to hear it live in a different setting, I mean, just, she's such a good songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
She's such a good songwriter. And this has already, it's been nominated for a Grammy. It was just announced, like, a couple weeks ago. She's nominated for Record of the Year and Best Pop Solo Performance. And it debuted at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. This is her highest charting single.
Really?
So far. Which you would not think.
No.
With the success of, like, Pink Pony Club or
others, yeah.
So, and it topped the charts in the UK. I'm anxious to see what they, I don't know. Have you heard her whole, the album, the Midwest Princess album?
Yes.
So some people are comparing it to Casual, but I mean, it's not.
I'd have to listen to them side by side.
Yeah.
But
I mean, lyrically, definitely not.
No.
But,
no. She's so good.
She is so good. She is not for the under 18 crowd, though.
No, she's not. She's not like if Madonna could really sing.
Madonna. Did you say Madonna?
Madonna.
I thought you said Madonna.
That'd be a great drag name.
Madonna. That is funny. I love a good drag name. A clever drag name just really, really sends me over the edge. So funny.
Anybody that's out there, you know.
Yeah, send us your drag names world in the comments.
if you're looking for a new character.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Chapel Roan, I love her. The Subway.
Chappelle Roan.
Chappelle Roan. She gets really, she gets a little annoyed at people that can't pronounce
she
her
does
name.
And that's what I want from her. I want to see her a little bit less ruffled by people sometimes because she's too good.
Or because her name's Kaylee.
Well, yeah. But she's so above getting kind of bothered by those kinds of things. Like,
yeah,
just let it roll.
She's too good to be so bothered by.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I do love it, though, when she chastises, like, people on the red carpet. And, you know, she's like, oh, you, I remember you. Yeah, you were rude to me.
Oh, yeah, I like that. That's fine.
F off.
I love my default setting. I come out of the box. Petty. That is my factory setting. So I like it when I see that from other people. I can respect it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
All right. So I'm going to venture away from country for a moment.
What?
I'm going to stay southern, though.
Okay.
To some Delta blues. And to me, one of the finest guitarists in the land today, and very reminiscent of the late great Stevie Ray Vaughan, is Kingfish Ingram.
Oh, yeah.
And he's from Clarksdale, Mississippi. So did he sell a soul? Did he not? I don't know. This song is called Crosses.
As we look for someone to carry on. Some are made of wood and some of stone. Crosses, where are you going?
So you can hear a lot of that classic blues. You can hear a lot of that rock blues. You can hear a lot of that influences from Muddy Waters to Stevie Ray Vaughan. And, you know, with us being in Arkansas, the Delta blues is something that we kind of grew up hearing a lot, just because we're in Grand Central Station for blues music. I feel like he is, got the potential. This is going to be sacrilege to a lot of people, but I think he's our best chance at finding the next BB King. I think he's our next best chance.
You thought
chance.
He was going to say Stevie Ray, didn't you?
I did. I was like, ooh.
I was
ooh,
like,
ooh. No, because Stevie Ray's talent was all in his fingers. I mean, he was a good singer and a decent enough songwriter, but I mean, he lived to play the guitar.
Yeah.
And that was him. He was synonymous with the guitar. The blues is synonymous with emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. B.B. King embodied.
You know, and yeah. So it's a lyrical, it's, I don't want to get too philosophical here, but I mean, like, I feel like really good blues music, like not rock blues, which is what Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eric Clapton do, but I mean, like, blues music, it's named after an emotion. Mm-hmm. And you gotta evoke that, and with your voice, with your music, with your lyrics. And I don't know that anybody's ever been better at all of it than B.B. King. We're starting to see the songwriting out of Kingfish Ingram that he is, you know, like we talked about before with Taylor Swift, growing in writing the lyrics. It's not just he's a great blues guitar player with a good voice. Now he's starting to, really feel and be able to communicate that feeling into other people, not just to other people, but in other people. You know what I mean? That's a different thing. I mean, you can make people know I'm sad when I sing, but to make other people feel sad when you sing is a different kind of talent.
Yeah.
And yeah. I feel like he's getting to that point. And, it's a different world. It's really hard for really traditional blues artists to just explode like we have seen with B.B. King and Muddy Waters and all that. But I think he's got a chance. And great album all the way through. It's called Hard Road. But this was my favorite song off of that album, Crosses by Kingfish Ingram.
Ooh, well, my next pick is very, very different from that. It is about being happy, and the sound is very joyous. So let's listen to Mystical Magical by Benson Boone.
Like you do. And then you switch up with no warning, and you kiss me like you want it. How rude, how rude. But I kinda like it anyways. I don't mind if this is gonna take a million days. I know you'll come around to me eventually. If you sit back, relax, enjoy my company, my company. Once you know what my love's gonna feel like, nothing else will feel right. You can feel like moonbeam ice cream, taking off your blue jeans, dancing at the movies, cause it feels so mystical, magical, love, baby. Cause once you know, once you know, magical, oh baby, cause what you know, what you know. My little heart to give, baby.
All right, I wanna give you the world. This song is like, just, there's something about it, it's just inject, just crack into my veins with this. Like, I'm just like, oh, this song is on. Like, I don't know why. I mean, it's an interesting song. It's not just simple, straightforward. Like, there are different, like, melodic sections, really. Like, the verse is different than the little, there are like a couple of different little pre-chorus sections that sound different. And then the chorus is just a lot, just explosion of, I don't know, just easy listening, just fun, catchy pop music. Like, I mean, it's used in commercials and stuff now. I heard it last night on something. It's just, it's a fun little song, you know? And he can sing. This dude is good.
Yes.
We watched him on Saturday Night Live, and like, Mark became a believer, and he doesn't really like pop music at all. He was like, all right, I like this song, and I think I like this guy. I worry about him, though, because his, like, trademark in live performances is this backflip off of something. And he's great now because he's super young and he can do it. But you're going to wipe out at some point, and that's going to be embarrassing. And then you're going to get too old to do it, period. So I'm just like, don't break something mid-concert, please. In a onesie,
That's also...
I mean, there's a lot of risk.
Yeah. I think a lot of things are going to have to change as he enters like his 40s at least.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. You can't, you also cannot sport that onesie forever.
No. Well, you can.
You can. You can.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
But yeah, so he's good. This song is just fun, catchy, super poppy. And the album, I haven't listened to much of the rest of the album, I'll be very honest. But what was his first song that he had? It was on the other album.
Yeah.
Beautiful Things or whatever. I didn't care for that song because it sounded like...
Oh, the Please.
Two, yeah. Please? Yeah, it sounded like two different songs just stuck together. Like the change was so abrupt. But these slight changes on this song, they flow together so much better to me.
Yeah.
So you still get that interest in the song without it seeming disjointed.
Yeah.
So
I always, when I was teaching music appreciation, and we'd talk about voice parts and stuff, and I'd talk about falsetto and stuff, and I was like, oh, I wish I could, you know, because I was always trying to find like current example. He's such a good,
He is
such a good falsetto example. And
yeah, he can belt, he can do falsetto. He's got, his low end is pretty good. Yeah. Like, he's got a good range.
Yep. Very good. Okay. Well, we're switching it up, right? That's what we like to do.
Yeah, that's what we like to do.
Well, this is absolute rock royalty. Maybe a prince, but rock royalty nonetheless. This is Mammoth. Pretty good, right? He did it. What'd you think about the bass playing on that? It's pretty good, right? He did it. He also played the drums. He plays keys. He did all the things. I mean, he laid down every single track. That's a very Prince thing to do. Mm. But, you know, so obviously, you know, and the solo in this is, you're definitely going to hear some non-emotional guitar shredding, as Ben would say. Because Eddie doesn't make him feel anything when he plays. Anyway, little shade. But, so, many clues point to this song being directed toward somebody in particular.
Oh, I need to listen. I need to go read the lyrics. And...
Mm-hmm.
Is it a diss track?
I believe so.
Nice. I love a diss track.
I mean, yes. And I mean, he hasn't come straight out. Oh, he has now come out, because all the stuff I'd read said that he had not come straight out and said, but there were some quotes by David Lee Roth that were connected to, you know, either in the lyrics or something he said, but I guess now he's come out and said it was flat out pointed at David Lee Roth. Okay. So,
and for context, Mammoth is
Wolfgang Van Halen.
There you go.
The son of Eddie Van Halen. And, so he played with Van Halen from 2007 to 2020. And, there's a quote from David Lee Roth talking about how he said that he doesn't pay enough attention to me on stage, you know, and apparently
stage chemistry was not what he wanted it to be.
There with David Lee Roth. And, you know, he was kind of like, well, you know, he's a kid, you know, his dad is Eddie Van Halen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and yeah, and his uncle's playing the drums. He's just a kid over, you know, so I guess he was kind of like, well, yeah. So, and what of it? Because he's David Lee Roth and he does things like that. So, but at any rate, he is not playing music with David Lee Roth anymore. No. And so this is their third album. The first one was called Mammoth One. The second one was called Mammoth Two. And this one is called The End. It is not called Mammoth 3, but
is it the last one?
Are we to extrapolate from that there will not be a Mammoth 4?
I don't think so. It was recorded in... now, this has only been out since September, which is kind of late in the game, but he recorded it at 5150 Studios. And so this kid is ridiculous. He's so freaking talented. Yeah. And he's been on the scene for a good long time. I mean, to be, I don't know how old he is, but to have been playing with Van Halen, you know, and I mean, I've heard him do Eruption. I've heard him, you know,
he's 34.
Okay. So, yep. I mean, in 2007, he was
17 ish, depending on the time of the year. Yeah.
Good Lord. You know, so obviously he's got good genes, musical genes, but he's ridiculously talented and went down and what?
I don't think you can say that anymore.
What?
Good genes.
You can't? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I missed that blow up of controversy. I never really understood it, but I just didn't pay attention. I don't know. I need to look into that.
Yeah. Well, I think he got some musical talent from his father.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. He has some, that channel Drumeo.
Yeah.
Where they do like, oh, this person hears this song for the first time or whatever.
Yeah.
There's one where he does a 5 seconds of Summer song and they have some pop hits. So I always like to hear people kind of reimagine what a part would sound like in a song that's like, you know, completely not their genre. And gosh, he's so good. He's so talented.
He is. And I love, you know, he's got a rocker attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and he just speaks his mind and it is fun to watch. And if you have not seen the video to this song, do yourself a favor. One, he's playing all the instruments in the video, but like he's got all the, like his, these other characters played by himself, you know, and so little nods and lots of flipping the bird and stuff like that. So it's literally and figuratively. So, it's a fun song. The other songs off this album are also really, I just think this one's fun and I love the David Lee Roth tie-in.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of flipping the bird, this song mentions flipping the bird.
Oh.
We're going to go with a little Eric Church action. Bleed on Paper.
May never be what you call a rock star. It's cool if I don't get there. die, just a sinner with a guitar. Johnny Cash, middle finger in the air.
There it is.
Make a living on what's in tip jar. Burn out like a neon bus. I've been nothing but my old man's son, or the best damn thing ever was. But I keep on singing what I know. Whole lot of life cutting like a razor, with some blue ink, a blank page, and old silver string. I bleed on paper.
What are these looks?
The horn section just out of nowhere.
If you would have said, I will give you 500 guesses at artists that Ben will pick in the best of 2025, wouldn't have gotten
it. I may have been a little harsh on Eric Church in the past. I feel like maybe I have unfairly lumped him in with some other people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking about.
Like the Jason Aldean. Yeah. Luke Bryan is the worst. I mean, he sounds like he vomits his words. I mean, that sounds exactly like Luke Bryan.
I cannot unsee him as if Beavis or Butthead. I can't remember which one it is,
but
it's Butthead. It's uncanny.
And listen, some of the early Eric Church definitely was a lot of pandering to traditional country music tropes. I mean, he's talking about pickup trucks. He's got a song called Cold One.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's okay. But like, I would say that more recently, he really sounds more like a country artist that has a lot of like Southern rock influences integrated into his music. Not so much just a pop, because that's not pop country. What we just listened to
right, no, it's
was not.
Not
pop country, which I despise. Okay, so it wasn't, it definitely is not that. But like, and to his credit, this song is about not selling out. That's mm-hmm. what this whole thing's about. I mean, he talks about meeting at the crossroads, meeting a man with a suit and tie, and having to tell him no. So, you know, now, if Luke Bryan or Jason Aldean had done that, I would say that's false advertising and we're doing a class action lawsuit, because that's just, they're just flat bro country, you know, sellouts 100%. But no, this is actually some compelling storytelling. Again, it's about the state of country music. And then there's kind of those dual meanings about bleeding, like he bleeds on paper, like his words bleed on paper. And then there's also like he's having to sacrifice like blood to not sell out to do X, Y, and Z, right? So for me, it's a good song. I'm giving Eric Church a second lease. Okay. On not life. I'm not going to say I'm not going to kill him, but a second lease on my attention to his music.
Okay.
Not that that means anything to him. Best I can do is go spend $17 on a CD, you know. We're not even CDs anymore.
No,
can you even buy,
you know, but just lyrically, it's really good lyrically. They brought in, yeah, the horns, just a lot of stuff going on there. And I'm really trying to give some of these artists that get played on the radio the benefit of the doubt before just assuming you're on the radio, therefore you're pop country. I'm trying to give them a second listen. And for this album, which is it's Evangeline versus the Machine is the name of the album. Listen to it on Spotify. This album passes the dial test.
Oh. Oh.
As a now is it like is it like neo traditional country? No. This is not, you're not going to confuse this with Keith Whitley. Okay. But is it, here's all I've ever wanted out of country music is just for it to be real to that artist.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it is. Not just a bunch of other people in the room putting a formula together, smacking it into a turd sandwich and say, sing it, which is what pop country has become. Like, there are actual thoughts in the songs that are deeper than just, you know, what the words say on paper. Bleed on paper. Right. So, no, good album. Really like this particular song. And so, Eric Church, for now, remains on Survivor. Remains on Survivor Island.
Okay.
Of country artists. Dials Survivor Island.
Okay. All right, I want to preface, before we listen to this, I just want to explain.
Oh.
I do not endorse the sentiment. yeah, as I feel like you look at the video on YouTube, it's okay. So this is Hayley Williams and her new album. And the song is called True Believer. But she has gone on record recently, done a lot of interviews because of this song. It's opening doors for her to talk about how she grew up in the church. And there's a lot of talk about deconstructing your faith or whatever. And that means some different things to some different people. But she basically is saying, I don't believe this anymore. And she's detailing the reasons of why she has walked away. Mm. And this song, there are some lyrics in it that are pointed toward the churches that make a lot of money, the churches that it's more of a business than a house of God, right? And growing up where she did around Nashville, you've got the Christian contemporary Christian music scene where faith is a business in a lot of ways, and I could see how you could get those things crossed. And you see a lot of really big churches that you maybe could get the wrong idea about the truth of what Christianity is. So I think to listen to this, if you are a believer, like, take yourself out of it and look at it from somebody else, an outsider's viewpoint, and how they might be able to see it this way. And I think that's something Christians need to do is, yeah, like, why do people see us this way? Is there something we can do to combat that? Like, they're not, the perception is the perception, and address that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I chose the less, awkward thing to listen to, I guess. So this is True Believer, Hayley Williams.
Best memories were bought and then turned into apartments. The club with all the hardcore shows, now just a grayscale domino. The churches overflow each Sunday, greedy Sunday morning. Gift shop in the lobby. Acts like God. Kill the soul, turn a profit. What lives on Southern Gotham?
Yeah, so Heather and I were sitting across, like, looking at each other like, ugh, oof, oof. But unfortunately, you can see how that perception could persist from some churches, right?
And well, if yeah, you go, because I mean, if we're going to be honest,
in the lobby, like, I mean, it's for real.
There's a lot of churches where I think Jesus would be turned tipping over some temple tables.
Absolutely, and
you know,
you know, the second verse of that, I was like, man, it's more. The second verse is all about the church, and I'm like, the lyrics on that are like, woof. As far as like gut punch, but I was like, man, I just don't think I have it in me to play that. It's not vulgar or anything. It's just like, it's divisive, but I think it's important for Christians to look at, to really hear people when they're saying,
yeah,
this is why I walked away. And it's because it's not even because of the Bible.
Right.
It's because of you.
Yeah.
But Hayley Williams, new music on her own.
Which
the whole album is not like this. But
does she ever? I mean, like, I haven't heard this song all the way through yet. But like, that's so unlike her to not soar on vocals.
Nope.
And those weird harmonies are, you know, like, it's good musically.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's very. She wants you to hear a message. She's not trying to show out and I mean, and it bears listening to, and
for sure. And this is like one of the like forefront songs on the album that she has chosen. She did this on Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, one of the Jimmys. Like, so she's going on late night TV. I mean,
yeah.
And as the church, you got to listen to this stuff and be like, this is the message that people are putting out there. And you got to look in the mirror sometimes.
Yeah. Wow.
So I didn't mean that for that to be super dark, but
well,
it's a well-written song.
It is. Okay. Well, this segues well into my next song. Don't play it just yet. But it is Nasty by Kirby. And you would think, oh, well, this would be, you know, some kind of, it is very, it's funkadelic. Uh-huh. You know, and so it has those elements, but it's really about authenticity, fake intentions, exploiting situations for your personal gain. My favorite line in here is, you know, corruption. Is you a prophet or is you for profit?
Ooh, yeah.
And later on, and she says, is you for yourself or for the nation? And later she says, is you a Karen or is you just caring? Like, the groove is nasty. Now the oh man, and like got this horn section, so it's got elements of Parliament and Chaka Khan and Macy Gray, these harmonies. It's like 2 minutes and 45. It's a short song, but she's co-written with Kanye several times. She co-wrote 4 or 5 seconds with Kanye and Rihanna and Paul McCartney. She's written with Demi Lovato, Christina Aguilera, John Legend, Kanye, like I said, Sia, Ariana Grande, Beyonce, J-Lo. So, I mean, she's been out there for a while writing songs, but man, this one gets me.
Is you on our side or is you faking? Is you trying to leak our information? Is you a prophet or is you for profit? Is you for yourself or for the nation? Oh, it's just toxic logic. Why do you keep on getting around? You what?
you know. There are songs like I think back to Respect Yourself,
yeah,
or you know, like, or I'll Take You There. You know, I mean, like these songs that have such a heavy groove, and you get attracted at first to just that, you know, that groove and everything, and then you start listening to the lyrics, and you're like, whoa, whoa. You know, so she's proven herself to be a solid co-writer, but I love this song. So,
all right, so we're going on to the last round, and I'm going to pick another.
Let me guess.
Yes, country song, but it is it's another country artist that gets some airplay.
Okay.
It's the Turnpike Troubadours.
Okay.
And it's off their new album Price of Admission. The song is On the Red River.
There's a mid-July white tail in velvet, red as your old Chevrolet. And I was 16 when you wrecked it, and we were lucky we both walked away. And you could day work and scrape out a living, the work for which you had been born. You were quick with a laugh and forgiving, tied hard and fast to the horn. We had kelpies and good quarter horses. We had wheat pasture units tied down. We learned pain was a price of admission, and you're never done paying it down.
I teared up a little bit the first
Stop
time I heard it. So, but then you listen to the whole song, and it's actually about a daddy who's alcoholic. So I was like, but our dad was not alcoholic. So, yeah.
Like, y'all are both in there crying, and I checked out. Like, I literally, like, dissociated for a second.
Self-preservation.
Yep.
Yeah. But just some great lines in there. One of the best lines I've heard in a long time is, we learned pain was the price of admission, and you're never done paying it down.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's just, life's going to hurt. It's always going to hurt. But come to find out, like, the song, and you don't know it, but the first verse, you know, I was 16 when you wrecked the red Chevrolet. And, well, okay, now we learn that means dad was driving drunk.
Yeah.
And he was tied hard and fast to the horn, and I mean, all this other kind of stuff. But so it's kind of, the song goes back and forth between, here are the good things I remember dad for, here are the, all the times that looking back, well, he was an alcoholic and, you know, he wrecked his horse, he yelled at us, he did all these things that, are traditionally associated with, men who are alcoholics. But there's just some incredible, incredible lyrical wordplay in there. It's just really good. But that chorus is just kind of hits you right in the gut, you know. But it's, and again, Turnpike Troubadours, a band that probably I had not given enough of a chance to. Simply because they were on the radio. You know, I'm telling you, about after 2005, I was like, if you're on the radio, you're junk, you know? So, like, I didn't trust anybody, but Actually, looking back and going back, this was one that I wish I had been listening to, because they've always been good. Like that, like they've always been pretty, I guess, sincere is a good word. They've been real, authentic. You know, authentic's a good word. And again, just bringing in a lot of those. There's neo-traditional roots there. There's some country rock elements in there. This particular song. This song's a little bit more neo-traditional than rock, but they've got some good rock stuff. So, just a really, really good song. And the further you dive into it and get into it, the more impactful that particular song gets. So that song was On the Red River by Turnpike Troubadours off the Price of Admission album. So they actually took that line mm-hmm. and made it the title of the album. So there it is.
Cool. Very different ones. Again, I'm going to take us to a different genre. And listen, I didn't want to get swept up in this craze. I avoided it for a long time, and I didn't get it. But my last pick.
I have no idea.
It's from the movie K-Pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, no.
It's not the one you think. I mean, Golden is great. I like that song a lot. It's very catchy, the one you hear everywhere. The song I chose is called What It Sounds Like. It's from the end of the movie.
My daughters are going to be so excited.
You're not alone. We listen to the demons. We let them get between us. But none of us are out here on.
And there's a lot in the, I didn't want to like it. I didn't want to like it. The story is good. The movie is entertaining. It's not just for kids, but it's clean. You can watch it with your family, but I think the adults would enjoy it as well. And the music is fracking catchy. And I can't help it. I want a Huntrix t-shirt. I don't care. I like the Sasha Boys. I'm in.
Wasn't there a point in time where like the top 10 was really dominated by songs off of this thing?
I don't know.
Like my daughters were like, six of the top 10 songs are off of this album.
It's possible. Because there are two groups in the movie. Because there's the Demon Hunters, the Huntrix, the girls. Uh-huh. And then there's this big bad demon who sends a group of demons disguised as this boy band, the Saja Boys. And so they're like competing for essentially the souls of the fans. But there's like conflict with one of the main girls because she's trying to hide from her friends that she's got demon like in her genetics. So, and she's not telling them, and they're like, she's like, if we can just beat these guys, I'll never have to tell them. And obviously, you know, mm-hmm. But it's good. It's very good. Even Mark, I was like, Mark, I kind of want to watch this movie. Everybody's watching it. Let's just see. Let's just watch it. And he was like, this movie is so good. Like, I kept falling asleep because I fall asleep in every movie we ever watch. So it took us like three sittings to get through it. And he would turn it off and he's like, are we going to finish this movie or not? Because I really want to know what happens. And it's good. Like, our whole like friend group, we're grown adults and we're like, listen, this music is not bad. And I didn't care about it at first because I don't listen to K-pop music. I don't know any of the, what's that group? BTS. I've never listened to any of their stuff. It's not that I don't like it. I just don't know it. Blackpink. Yeah. And so I've just not had any exposure to it. And I was like, I don't think I'll have any interest in that. But it's good. It's good music.
that title track song that's Golden, everywhere.
It's good.
I mean, yeah.
It's very good.
Those girls,
they can sing.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah. K-pop demon hunters.
That's going to be hard to follow.
Yep.
Well, this is somebody that everybody's heard of.
Okay.
But it's a little bit of a departure, I think. I think it's a new era of Lady Gaga.
Standing on the corner, smoking that gas, and the noise all pass me by. Talking some shit with your hand on that ass, I'm under the wind disguise.
Got one in every song.
You wanna be cool, but you're making me mad. But my lip, it starts to bleed. Yeah, it tastes so good, but it gotta be bad. I'm gonna get you home.
It's classified on, when you look it up, as electro funk, industrial dance. It's obviously heavy bass and synth, but it's like Bowie and Nine Inch Nails had a baby, and its uncle was Prince. it's so funky, but it's got that underpinning is closer by Nine Inch Nails, almost identical. And then that little guitar, that's Fame by David Bowie. And then it talk about drawing on elements from other things, but she's another one that makes it sound so easy.
Yeah.
And literally she can do anything. Now this album also has Die With A Smile, which I almost picked, her duet with Bruno Mars.
Great song.
Number one hit and totally different. Totally different. But, I just love, I heard this the first time when she performed it on Saturday Night Live, and the performance is so weird.
Yep.
Like she comes from somewhere else in the studio and doesn't even make it to the stage for half the song and stuff. And the outfit's weird and the haircut's weird and everything's weird. And I love it.
It's kind of back to when we were introduced to Lady Gaga and she's wearing the meat dresses and stuff like that. And you were like, what is this?
Yeah, right before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, she's singing with Tony Bennett.
Yes.
And, what? Because she can.
Mm-hmm.
She can do all of it. And I love her.
I do too.
I love her. And is she weird? Maybe.
I don't know.
Is she crazy like a fox? Yeah. I mean, she's constantly reinventing herself and constantly showing that I can do this genre, I can do this genre, I can do all of these things, and you're just gonna sit there and love it.
Country, she's done that.
Yeah.
And I think like this album, because I almost picked a handful of songs mm-hmm. from this album, but like mm-hmm. her single that she's got out now, Abracadabra, is yes. all, it's back to almost like what's that song?
Poker Face.
That, but also Bad Romance. It was almost it's got elements of that feel in it, like old school Lady Gaga when she really hit.
Yeah.
And then like Die With a Smile is at the end, which is really kind of like nothing else on the album. Mm-mm. And then the middle part of it, I was like, man, the bass on all of these songs is so good. Like there's one called Zombie Boy. There's Dance with the Dead or Dance of the Dead or something like that. Like it's a funky album.
And have
as
you seen
whole.
Her performances of Abracadabra?
Yes. Though dancing. See, that's what takes
Weird.
Me back. That takes me back to high school when I was like, I don't know what this is, but I kind of like it.
Rah, rah.
Yeah.
Mama.
yeah. And she finds clever ways to put her name in songs.
I know.
She'll just slip it in there.
Well, I remember when Poker Face came out, Bubble Guppies did a spoof called Pencil Case.
That is not, I was like, where? What is going to come out? Okay.
Bubble, 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 guppy, guppy, guppies. Y'all remember Bubble Guppies?
Yes, I remember Bubble Guppies.
I don't remember Bubble Guppies.
My pencil case.
Yeah. That is not the intent of the song.
Nope. And this song, you know, song ain't about murder.
No.
She's not saying I'm an actual killer.
Yeah.
She's
something else.
Yeah.
All right, so we have 15 songs. The best for us, not necessarily maybe the best 15 song, but I know that's the deal, right?
I mean,
our favorite songs of 2025.
Sure.
So we have 15 for you to go listen to. Here they are.
Bad Dreams by Teddy Swims. Love Like Whiskey by The Warren Treaty. Mystical Magical by Benson Boone. True Believer by Haley Williams. What It Sounds Like by K-Pop Demon Hunters. Songbird by Waylon Jennings. Crucified Sun by Charlie Crockett. Crosses by Kingfish Ingram. Bleed on Paper by Eric Church. On the Red River by Turnpike Troubadours. Lovesick Lullaby by Youngblood. The Subway by Chapel Roan. I Really Wanna by Mammoth. Nasty by Kirby. And Kill Up by Lady Gaga.
Okay. So that's the best of 2025. Again, we thank everybody for listening to us in 2025. Tomorrow starts 2026, and you know what also starts 2026? Season 5 of The Music List starts in 2026.
That's so
crazy.
So for those of you that have been with us from the beginning, to all of those that have just started, maybe this is your first episode, thank you for listening. Stick with us. We got more in store in 2026. Thank you, and have a wonderful new year.
Thanks for joining us on The Music List Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. She almost had it.